Welcome to Near Death Experience Podcast. I'm Chaz Hathaway. Today we're going to read some samples from PMH Atwater's book, The Big Book of Near-Death Experiences. Now, rather than being a big book full of near-death experiences, it is a book that simply takes various topics and ideas around the near-death experiences and explores them in a little bit of detail and so forth. And one of the things that she discusses are four types of near-death experiences, which she lists as the first one being initial experience, sometimes referred to as the non-experience and awakening. The second is an unpleasant or hellish experience, sometimes referred to as a distressing near-death experience. The third is pleasant and or heaven-like experience, sometimes referred to as a radiant experience. And number four, a transcendent experience, sometimes referred to as a collective universality. And we have talked about various experiences that have included these different four types of experiences, but it's kind of useful to look at them individually as four different types of experiences for the reasons that PMH lists. So here's an experience listed as an initial experience that was experienced by John Raymond Leona of Brooklyn, New York. I was strangled by my umbilical cord during birth. Once born, I was given a tracheotomy to get me breathing. I had black eyes, swollen face, cuts from forceps. My mother didn't see me until the third day. I relive the event in my dreams from time to time, vividly. I remember being bent over or kneeling down, fighting with these knots. I was very upset and angry. Just when I was thinking I was getting control of these things, I get hit in the face, the doctor with the forceps. I started struggling even more. All of a sudden, I became very peaceful. Everything I was feeling before just poured out of me, and I was so calm. I remember looking at my hands, but the details are not clear. I think I was floating because I was trying to move forward but could not. I was trying to reach this woman in the distance. The material of her gown was glowing with little specks of light trailing off. There was a buzzing or humming sound. She floated away toward the left. I was calling out to her, yelling, but the light, it was all around. It was coming from the right and was so bright. She could not hear me. I was so upset as I wanted to go with her. Now, as an example of the second type, or unpleasant or hellish experience, there was a boy named Scott who had this experience, and this was from an interview that Richard Bonenfant had with him, who was a near-death experience researcher. And Richard explains, Scott remembered being in a dark place. That place was peaceful and quiet. Then he felt himself being propelled through a dark tunnel. He described his motion through the tunnel as a combination of floating and being pushed along. It was like a wind tunnel, with the sides whirling around. While going through this dark tunnel, Scott encountered the devil. The devil accused him of being bad and severely frightened the boy. Scott referred to him as an evil force that was trying to suck him away from God. This entity was described in terms of being male, but not conforming to the usual depictions of a black demon with horns and a tail. To Scott, the devil appeared as a large glob of rotten flesh. He not only was angry and evil, the boy described this devil as acting sick and crazy at the same time. He shouted at Scott that he was bad and would not be allowed to leave. Scott was extremely frightened at the prospect of being trapped with this creature, but had the faith that God would take care of him. He next described crossing a room and seeing his uncle, who had died 2 years earlier. The uncle was covered by the same sheet or blanket that Scott had seen when the uncle was dying of cancer. The man recognized Scott and told him that he would be all right. They conversed in a kind of telepathic way. Following his encounter with the deceased uncle, Scott became aware that he was being escorted through a dark, open place toward a distant light. He described the light as being brighter than the sun, but it didn't hurt his eyes. He felt that this light was God, and he felt safe in its presence. The light communicated to him, somehow, that he would be okay. There were other presences in the light, like the angels on a Christmas tree. Scott could not find words to describe them. The best he could do was to state that they did not have wings or halos or play horns or trumpets. He said that they were clear and bright, but had no gender. So that's an example of the second type of experience, the hellish or experience with that being unpleasant. So as an example of the third or pleasant experience, we have Gracie L. Sprouse of Virginia, and she says, "I was swimming with my sisters when suddenly I found myself unable to reach the top of the water for air. I felt like I had just stepped into nothingness. I went down twice and was coming up for the third time when I managed to yell for help. Before I was pulled from the water, I saw a film strip of my life. It was just like being in a theater as I sat cross-legged and watched the things I'd done wrong to my sisters. I was not judged by the angel who showed me this. I judged and convicted myself. The angel hovered in midair to the upper left of the screen. I remember thinking that I was leaving my family and sisters and started to feel sorrow. The sorrow left immediately, and I felt as if I'd been assured they would be fine. Then there was such a feeling of bliss that it's indescribable. Since then, I have had a lifetime of unexplained happenings. My entire outlook is different from the norm. I see with my heart, and I know things." That's the end of that account, but there's another one listed here for this example, and I want to read another one because that one felt a little vague to me about in terms of it being a type of experience. And so this next one is a guy who is basically homeless, and he's hit by a car. And this is his description. He says, "Gradually the earth scene faded away. And through it loomed a bright, new, beautiful world beyond imagination. For half a minute, I could see both worlds at once. Finally, when the earth was gone, I stood in a glory that could only be heaven. In the background were two beautiful, round-topped mountains. The tops were snow-capped, and the slopes were adorned with foliage of indescribable beauty. The mountains appeared to be about 15 miles away, yet I could see individual flowers growing on their slopes. I estimated my vision to be about 100 times better than on Earth. To the left was a shimmering lake containing a different kind of water, clear, golden, radiant, and alluring. It seemed to be alive. The whole landscape was carpeted with grass so vivid, clear, and green that it defies description. To the right was a grove of large, luxuriant trees, composed of the same clear material that seemed to make up everything. I saw 20 people beyond the first trees playing a game. They were having a hilarious time. As soon as they saw me, 4 of the players left the game and joyfully skipped over to greet me. They appeared young, their bodies almost weightless, with grace and beauty of movement, fascinating to watch." And I'm going to go ahead and stop with that account because we've actually shared that one. They were playing some game, holding hands in circles and told, you know, they can get wet without, or can come out dry, or, and you know, different things like that. So it's that experience. So basically an incredibly heavenly, beautiful experience. So that's the third type, or the pleasant and or heaven-like experience. And then we have the transcendent experience. And the example given here is of a man named Ray Kinman. And here's his experience. I went to Catholic school and was horsing around with a friend after school on the playground. He was showing me a new judo move that he had learned in his martial arts class. He was going to flip me over his shoulder onto the ground. Something went wrong and I landed directly on my head. I picked myself up from the ground with intense pain in my head and my spine and was going to run to the bathroom, but I fell flat on my face on the concrete, blacked out completely. It felt as if my body had just come apart, and my vision went spiraling out of control. Swirling colors seemed to disappear to a point somewhere, like a funnel or something. No, not a tunnel, a funnel. I was really scared. Somehow I knew that I had to let go of my fear and roll with the funnel of swirling light. My body was gone. It felt like a blender had just ripped it apart. I still had a body, but it was entirely different. I could see in three dimensions as if I had no body at all, but was just a floating eyeball. There was no directions or dimensions as we think of them. I was greeted by a being of light and love. It seemed to be just a brilliant glow that absorbed me inside of itself. Love is far too weak a word to describe this experience. I became love, my entire being. Every strand of my spirit spreading throughout the universe had become love times a million billion. I found myself in front of some giant golden gates. There was some kind of fog that obscured any sense of direction, but my pet dog Skippy was there. Skippy had died some years earlier and was the only person that I had any real family connection with that was dead. I was overwhelmed with joy and love and embraced my dog with my spirit. At this point, I was told that I must go back, that it was not my time. If it is possible to describe the funnel experience in reverse, this is what it felt like coming back. It felt like my spirit was being stuffed into a jar that was far too small and painful to hold it. I heard the paramedics. I didn't want to come back, but I had to. And that's the end of that experience. So there's an example of four types of experiences, and though they all seem to fit the description, I think I can think of some experiences that may more clearly define these types, if I'm understanding her types right. So this initial experience seems to be something of a just, you know, hovering above the body, maybe sensing the thoughts of those around them, experiencing something on the earth plane but not leaving the earth plane, and then returning to maybe even seeing loved ones, but never quite leaving to a different landscape, if you will. And then the second being a hellish or unpleasant experience, such as we've often read by those who end up in a realm of torture and horrible. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it, but inevitably, every one of them that called out to God for help received it, and usually the light would appear, either dispelling the evil ones or beckoning the individual out by following the light, and they find themselves either in a tunnel or just in the midst of light, whatever, and then they go on to a more beautiful experience. But that any time they experience something truly frightening or truly unpleasant, I think that fits that third or second example, sorry. The third example being a pleasant or heaven-like experience. This seems to be not necessarily the most common, I would say. You know, I don't know. It seems very common, certainly. But certainly it's one that usually gets the most understandable descriptions, if you will, the most detail, if you will. This is the kind of experience that where there seems to be buildings and forests and water and animals and people and all this. It seems to be very paradise-like, let's put it that way. You know, the first is death, but not really leaving. The second being a terrible experience or very unpleasant experience. The third being a very paradisiacal or paradise type of experience. And the fourth wasn't entirely clear on in this example, but I think it caught the gist of it, is this idea of being in the presence of this perfect love and light and all-knowing, all-unifiedness, which is also very common. I think this is a good summation if you're going to divide types of experiences. I think dividing it into these four aspects is certainly... It certainly makes sense. Some people do experience all four. You know, they may start out, you know, at the body, then they have this unpleasant experience, and then they're rescued from it into this beautiful landscape, then they're invited into the light. Sometimes it's in a different order, so forth. The one we read yesterday was an interesting one with Renelle Wallace, where she had this beautiful heavenly paradise kind of experience, and then she is told you need to go into this room down below, down these stairs, and because you need to learn humility. And there she goes down and meets a being who is absolutely beautiful, but also very, very authoritative, powerful kind of individual who had lived their life ruling and commanding, and it was something of, I don't want to say hellish, but you certainly could say it was unpleasant for her. She didn't want to go, but she needed to learn the lesson that she could learn by going there, and she did. She learned some things about herself as she saw some of those attributes, or not attributes, faults, I guess, of that powerful individual in herself, and realized that she needed to change. Anyway, so you can find experiences where they will experience all four types, but these four types seem to fit most near-death experiences. I have heard some where you could say it's kind of a subtype of that initial experience where they feel peace, they may even feel love, they may even hear a voice, but they don't see or experience anything beyond their, you know, just blacked outness, if you will. And that's fairly common as well. Now, usually those people return fairly soon. They don't stay very long in that state. They will usually just be out for a short time, but it's clear to them that they went somewhere, or they were in a state that goes beyond what the earth experience can provide. And then, of course, with that transcendent experience, this is an interesting one, because that's the one where people will often be in the midst of this light, and you ask them, well, what was the landscape? What was around? And they say, I was just absolutely engulfed in light. It was just light, you know, and yet it was 1,000 billion times brighter than the sun. And even being in something as bright as the sun would seem very dark and dim to them after that experience, which is sometimes described. You know, they go to a lower light place that's still brighter than the sun, but much less bright. And I don't even know how we can comprehend that. I don't think we can, but obviously in the spirit form we can. And so they're in this bright, bright, absolutely glorious situation. They say, I knew everything. The answer to every question was just right there. And I could experience anything and anyone and everything and everyone. And it was, you know, I mean, I don't even know how to describe that because I haven't experienced it myself. And those who have can't describe it either. It's just beyond everything. So that's kind of the extreme example of the transcendent experience. So you get these different types. Just kind of interesting. Again, this is from PMH Atwater's book, The Big Book of Near-Death Experiences. Very interesting so far. I'm going through it bit by bit. It's almost a little bit more reference manual kind of thing. So if you hear of something and you're like, what? What's this stuff about, you know, this, you know, symbolism, this story that I experienced and, you know, seeing things from the point of view of a bug or whatever, you know, what's up with that? You can look it up and see more detail about it. So we'll go ahead and put that in the bookstore on the website, neardeathexperiencepodcast.org. And again, this bookstore is just when I read from a book or mention a book on the podcast, I put a link to it in that store. It just goes to Amazon. I don't receive any of the benefits from this. This is just a way for you to be able to find these different books. And, you know, and I should say, I haven't read all of these books. Most of them, I have only read a sample of it, or I have heard from the person who wrote it. And because of the experience, and I found their experience to be quite enlightening, I have no reason to doubt but their book would be every bit as enlightening, if not more so, than the conversation. So, if you would like to contact the podcast, you can call 970-NDE-CAST. What you'll get is an answering machine that will give you 3 minutes to share your question, comment, or experience. If that's not enough time, just call right back and continue, and I can piece those audio pieces together into one full comment, experience, etc. And also, you can email neardeathexperiencepodcast@gmail.com. If you've been listening for a while and really enjoy this, if you have any access to iTunes, it would really help if you wrote a review, or if you, you know, rated it and wrote a review, you know, whatever you want to say. Be totally honest. And if there's things that need improvement, say that too. Not just because I want the feedback, which I do, but also because when people see an honest review that's not just like, you know, this is great, I love it, then they see, oh, people really are listening. These aren't made up, you know. If you say he's got a goofy voice, but the stories are great or whatever, you know, go ahead, because that will help people see this is for real. And just making those comments and putting those reviews on iTunes helps the algorithms of iTunes to put the podcast high on the ranks when people search for something like spiritual podcast, you know, near-death experiences, out-of-body experience, whatever, you know. So it can help other people find it. So that would help a lot. Also, you can share individual episodes with a friend or family member who you think could use it or just might be interested. Honestly, I'm absolutely amazed at the feedback and the comments and and things that we've received on about the podcast. And I am truly, truly grateful to each of you for listening. I know from experience and from talking to others who listen to podcasts, most people who listen to podcasts don't comment and review and so forth. And I don't fault you for that at all. But I do want to say thank you so much for listening. Even if I never know in my lifetime that you were listening, I appreciate your listening. Because honestly, you know, this does take some time, but I can't not do it right now. I have enough time to do it. Yes, it's hard with trying to run a business and trying to also work a part-time job outside of my full-time self-employment to do this, but I just feel an intense desire to try to make a difference in the world for good, to try to do something that reaches out and does good for people. And the feedback that I am receiving is very positive and makes me feel like, you know what, this is totally worth it. I have to keep doing this. So with that, thank you, each and every one of you, so much for listening.